It wasn't omnipotent, Quinn realized, this thing which controlled his body. It had limits. He let the dribs and drabs of light soak into what was left of his mind, concentrating on what he saw, the words he heard, watching, waiting, trying to understand. Syrinx thought Boston was the most delightful city she had seen in 14 years of travelling about the Confederation, and that included the sheltered enclaves of houses in the Saturn-orbiting habitats of her birth. Every home was built from stone, with thick walls to keep the heat out during the long summer, then keep it in for the equally long winter. Most of them were 2 stories high, with some of the larger ones having 3. They had small railed gardens at the front and rows of stables along the back. Terrestrial honeysuckle and ivy were popular creepers for covering the stonework, while hanging baskets provided cheerful dabs of colour to most porches. Roofs were always steep to withstand the heavy snow, and grey slate tiles alternated with jet black solar panels in pleasing geometric patterns. Wood was burnt to provide warmth, and sometimes for cooking, which produced a forest of chimneys thrusting out of the gable ends, topped by red clay pots with elaborate crowns. Every building, be it private, clinic, or commercial, was individual, possessing the kind of character impossible on worlds where mass production facilities were commonplace. Wide streets were all cobbled, with tall cast-iron streetlights spaced along them. It was only after a while she realized that as there were no mechanoids or servitors, each of the little granite cubes must have been laid by human hand, the time and effort that must have entailed. There were trees lining each pavement, mainly Norfolk's pine analogues, with some geneered terrestrial evergreens for variety. Traffic was comprised entirely of bicycles, trike scooters, very few and mostly with adolescent riders, horses and horse-drawn cabs and carts. She had seen power vans, but only on the roads around the outskirts, and those were farm vehicles. After they had cleared customs, altogether more rigorous than passport control, they'd found the horse-drawn taxi coaches waiting by the aerodrome's tower. Syrinx had grinned, and Tula had let out an exasperated groan. But the one they used was well sprung, proving a reasonably smooth trip into town. Following Andrew Unwin's advice, they had rented some rooms at the Wheatsheaf, a coaching house on the side of one of the rivers which the town was built around. Once they had unpacked and eaten a light lunch in the courtyard, Syrinx and Reuben had taken another coach to Penn Street, the precious cool box on the floor by their feet. Reuben watched the traffic and pedestrians parading past with a contented feeling. Starship crews strolling about were easy to spot. Their clothes of synthetic fabric were curiously bland in comparison to the locals' attire. Bostonians in summer favoured bright colours and raffish styles. This year, multicoloured waistcoats were in vogue among the young men, while the girls wore crinkled cheesecloth shirts, with bold circular patterns, hems always below their knees, he noted sadly. It was like stepping back into pre-spaceflight history, though he suspected no historical period on Earth was ever as clean as this. "Penn Street, Governor!" the driver cried, as the horse turned into a road parallel to the River Gwash. It was the commercial sector of the city, with wharves lining the river and a lengthy rank of prodigious warehouses standing behind them. Here, for the first time, they encountered powered lorries. A railway marshalling yard was visible at the other end of the dusty road. Reuben looked down the long row of warehouses and busy yards and offices, only too well aware of Syrinx's gaze, hot on his neck. Mordant thoughts started pressing against his mind. Drayton's Import wasn't in Penn Street. It was Penn Street. The name was on signs across every building. "Where to now, Governor?" the driver asked. "Head office," Reuben replied. The last time he'd been here, Drayton's Import had consisted of a single office in a rented warehouse. head office turned out to be a building in the middle of the street, on the waterfront side, sandwiched between two warehouses.